Welcome to Kick Back with Chris. Kick Back with Chris, the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by Martialytics. Easy to use, super powerful management software for your martial arts school.
Hey everybody, so I'm really excited to say for those people that are listening rather than watching in that joining me again, he's very kindly offered to come back on again, so I clearly did something right the first time around. My awesome friend, Dr. John Zhou Zhang, how are you doing, sir?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, well, thanks for coming back, because you didn't have any reason to, really.
Well, it was just my excuse to see you, so...
Well, we can chat about that a little bit, because we've still yet to have that other meetup from, I'm trying to think how long ago it would be now, a long time ago.
3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Something like that. There's a long, 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 long time ago, one of the martial arts events from decades gone by.
Gosh, yeah, the last time I saw you in person was 2005.
Wow.
Oh, no, 2007, sorry. I remember visiting your school up north.
Did you?
Yeah. I came to your school. It was not the place that you're in now. It was the one...
Oh, yes, you did. Wow, gosh. That's my horrific memory for you right there. Yeah, amazing. So, for those that haven't watched him before or listened to these extra podcasts that I do, these are what I like to call my unscripted conversation podcasts. So I have nothing in front of me. I haven't planned or prepped for this other than I've just reached out and said, hey, would you come back on the podcast? And that's as much planning that has gone in. Now, you did actually just say it was 4 years ago the last time we spoke on the podcast, because I went back through the archives this morning just to check, just that I didn't say that bit wrong. I think it's fair to say there's a lot happened in those 4 years.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we were all at home 4 years ago.
Yes.
And not much has changed now. I'm still at home. But I think as things started getting lifted, restrictions started easing up a little. Things started taking off for me, which was really nice, especially with projects that I'd done prior to the lockdowns, for instance. Mm. They all got delayed, so they came out, in the past couple of years, Marvel Eternals, for instance, which is great. So now I can talk about that.
Yes. But... yeah, they were all sort of hinted at slightly, kind of, well, I've done this awesome thing that I can't talk about for very obvious reasons. So as an experience, how was that? That must have been, wow, I mean, that's up there.
That was definitely a dream come true. Oh gosh, sorry. Yes, that was certainly an amazing experience, because I got to double for one of my heroes, Don Lee, who is in Train to Busan. And, the call came out of the blue. This is like, I think, August 2019,
Wow.
Yeah. And I think with that was... when I got the call, he said, we'd love for you to double for one of our lead actors. And I was like, please be Don Lee, please be Don Lee. For one of our lead actors, Don Lee, and I, kind of freaked out a little. Mm-hmm. And then Maddie on the phone, she was like, you still there? I'm like, yeah, still here.
Inside, like, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
So was there any additional, go through any additional training for that in particular, or did you change things?
So with that, because Don Lee is quite a big guy, I didn't have to change my body weight or anything, which is great. Mm. We're about the same build. He's a bit taller than I am, but the martial arts stuff, he's more of a boxer. Right. So I can adjust some of my movements to cater for that. But also... that was my introduction into wire work.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, and a lot of people enjoy wire work because they get to fly, whereas I got slammed a lot. So everyone has different experiences with wire work for sure, but when it comes to getting slammed on my face, it's that was an adjustment for me.
Figuratively and literally, hopefully.
Yeah, and... that was certainly an adjustment, because when you get slammed, you have to do another take and another take and another take, which when you do screen fighting, you're used to that. But if it's intentionally getting thrown to the ground, well, pulled to the ground by wires, it's like, oh, gosh, yeah. Not too sure how many more of them I have in me. But for sure, you know, I think that was definitely an amazing experience because I learned so much from Don, and he is just a really wonderful guy. But he would come on set, remember everybody's names, and speak to everybody. So he was definitely the, one of the favorites. So I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, I can imagine so. I mean, it's the first time I remember, I mean, it's not to that extreme, but I remember the first time hitting the floor for anything, you know. You're going from kicking and punching and doing all that stuff, thinking, this is great fun, this is amazing, I love this. Then, we need you to do this for. Okay, no problem. Bang. Wow. Neck, shoulders, back, ow. It's really painful. But so going on from there, obviously other opportunities have come up. I just wondered if you'd be happy to talk a little bit about, obviously I think the most obvious one that people are gonna wanna know about is the most recent Netflix release of The Brother's Son. How was that as an experience?
Phenomenal, life-changing, and another dream come true. So basically, with The Brother's Son, I remember it was April 2022. I was having dinner with a friend, and I get an email from a casting, from a casting department. And I thought, okay, let's take a look. And they said, oh, we'd love for you to read for a role for a project that's just been greenlit. It's called The Brother's Son, but there wasn't much information about that at the time, besides the producer is Byron Wu, who is a writer, as well as Brad Falchuk, who is the producer of Glee, American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, this is good. And I remember looking at some of the, I had to do some self-tapes. I had to look through the lines. I thought, gosh, okay, this is more lines that I am used to. And I think normally when you work as a stunt performer, if you do get a line, it's a few words here and there. So I remember reading through this thinking, okay, good. This is the direction I always wanted to go into anyway. And the audition process was maybe took about a month, I suppose. Okay. And then when Jenny from casting, she gave me a call. She said to me, "Hey, you got the role." And that was April 29th, 2022. I'll never forget it. I think that was probably the happiest day of my life. It was I think when she said I had the role, I definitely noticed a period of time where I said nothing. And I thought, oh, I think a whole minute has elapsed since I last said anything.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. That was crazy. I was really so happy about it. You know, I called my brother, called my family and everything. It was very much, okay, this has happened now. Now we have to go through the visa process because it's going to be in the States. Okay, no problem. And that was a 7-week period. It was only when Netflix actually announced the cast did I realize that Michelle Yeoh was in it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I found out when everybody else found out.
Oh, wow.
So double whammy for me. It's like, oh, Netflix have announced the cast. That's amazing. And I see Michelle Yeoh's headshot. I thought, and then I realized the self-tapes that I had done, especially I have a few monologues and everything, you know, when I'm actually saying or telling a story about an older woman, about how she came in and dressed down all these other triads, I was like, oh gosh, that's Michelle. That was incredible. And I think when I flew out to LA in July 2022, it was 4 months. LA is very hot at that time of year. It was like 35 degrees every day. But you know, it was such an incredible experience, especially working with the stunt team. Some of them I've worked with before on other productions, but these guys also did all the John Wick films and everything. And so they said to me, look, you have one fight scene. So, okay, no problem. But and they, it was very, very kind of them that they would let me, as they were designing the fight scene, they said, okay, this is the geography of the fight. But if you want to add your own stuff to it,
that's
let
good,
us know.
That's good.
We can make that happen. I was like, okay, great. Fantastic. And that was really kind of them to trust me with that. So they said, so long as the beats are the same, the rhythm is the same, you can add your own flair. I thought, wonderful. And so that was, I mean, I wish I had more fight scenes, but that's fine. For the most part, this was an acting role. And that's something that I've always wanted to transition to. So do the stunts and eventually transition to the acting. Especially as I'm not afraid to admit that I don't want to get hurt. You know what I mean? Not anymore, anyway. It's I think when you, as soon as I turned 30, my recovery took a hit overnight.
Tell me about it. Wait till you hit 40.
Are you in your 40s now?
I'm 44.
Gosh, well, you don't look it.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
Yeah, I was telling my friend the other day, I've known you maybe 23 years or something, 24 years.
Goes back to the days of sort of the online martial arts community, Microsoft Messenger. Those days, going back a long time.
Absolutely.
Whereas you were a small child, and I was probably nearly an adult.
Gosh.
But no, it is amazing, actually. No, because I know I've made a point over the last couple of years of just staying in touch over Instagram, sending the occasional message here and there. But it has been really rewarding and really cool to see your progression from the excited youngster asking me the questions, how do I do this, where do I do that, to now being the guy that I'm going to kind of come to and go, so have you got any advice on how could I do this? But that's been awesome to follow, genuinely really cool, especially when I started to see the posters, obviously, with the brother's son coming up. I'm like, that's the guy, that's it, that's my friend, that's the guy there, look, he's on the poster. It was awesome. It was so genuinely so awesome to see.
Thank you so much. And, you know, thank you for all your advice for over the years as well, especially as I had your kicking tutorials, which actually really helped me. You know, it's especially with the jump spin back kick into a hook kick as soon as you land. That's like, oh, nobody does it quite the way Chris does.
Don't do it quite the way Chris did it anymore. It's a little bit looser these days, but I'm still there. I'm still, you know, I'm still fighting gravity and nature, shall we say.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Cool. Sorry, go on. I'll let you carry on. You're going to say.
No, please. I think, but back to Brother Sun, for instance, I got to work with a lot of the old stunt guys as well, which... I mean, these guys were in Best of the Best.
Wow.
We've seen all of the old Jackie Chan films and everything. It's like, gosh, I'm a fan of all of you. And to get to work with them as well, just a dream come true. And working with Michelle, I've got to tell you, she is the nicest person. She is one of the most kindest people out there. She's so generous with her knowledge. And she's so witty as well. She's really incredibly witty and switched on. Just a really lovely person.
Sounds like an amazing experience all around, dude. I'm super jealous. What was it like that first day that you walked on set? Was it kind of one of those pinch yourself moments of, I'm here, this is happening, this is, you know, even though you've had all that lead up to it and all that time, and because I remember I had a sheet that I had stuck on my wall of things that I wanted to achieve. Mm. And one of them was to work in China, work on Hong Kong movie or whatever. And I remember being on set, the one time I've ever done it. And I was, you know, I was stood there and I've got my friends around me and there's Corey Young Kwai, you know, action directed. And I'm like, I'm here. I've done the thing. And I'd actually been there for a number of days leading up to there, because we obviously had to travel, you know how it is. We went to set, so we went to wardrobe, went back to the hotel, we came back to set, and I remember standing there going, this is the thing that I, you know, I visualized that I wanted to achieve, and I was just like, wow. And I remember just catching myself going, this is cool, I'm actually here. So I just wondered, you know, if, did you have a similar sort of, this is where I've been working up to. This is what I've been trying to do all this time.
Absolutely. And I think when you're a kid and you fantasize about this kind of stuff and everything, you know, I'm a firm believer in visualization, but for sure, it's like once you're there, it's like, oh gosh, this is happening. This is, you're actually here, and everyone around you is bringing their A game. So I must do the same also and then some. And I think my first day, because my call time was like 6 a.m, it might have been earlier, though I was still jet lagged.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but it was a good experience for sure. And it was different to being a cast member than it was being a stunt performer, for sure. That, and you know, something I learned a lot of things, like you know, if the camera's not on you, I can probably save my best takes for when the camera is on me.
Okay.
And my third day on set was actually with Michelle. And it was...
How was that? It must have been exciting, nerve-wracking, challenging, sort of all the above, really, like all those emotions.
So after my second day on set, I stayed behind just so that I could meet her. So because we had such a big scene when we were going to film together, so I stayed behind. When she came out of a trailer, I said, hi, Michelle, I'm John. I play for Dude. I would just wanted to stay behind and meet you and talk to you. And she was like, oh, great, yeah. So, you know, you got your visa and you're here now. I was like, I did, yes, great. So she's so switched on. She knew all about me, which was really nice. And when I got to work with her, she was like, oh, hey, good morning. How are you? And she was very cheerful and... I remember when we were sat and holding, she said to me, later on, can you get closer to me? Because I feel that I need to touch you. And I said to her, for the scene, right? And she was like, yeah, for the scene, yes. I got nervous, I panicked, I did.
I've got to ask this. I've actually got my long-serving mug with me. For those who don't know, myself and John do exchange many a Star Trek reference in our messages. Did you manage to avoid asking any questions? Because I wouldn't have been able to avoid asking any questions about Star Trek.
I failed at the first hurdle. So...
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
She's telling us all these stories about her 40-year-long career, and it's incredible to hear. And especially as she's been a staple in throughout my entire life. I'm sure yours as well. In that, you know, we've seen her in all of these amazing films. You've seen what she can do. And the only question for her that I had was, how is your time on Star Trek Discovery?
Well done. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Because, you know, it's like, you know, we both love Star Trek and we both love Michelle. And these are two things that I love the most. And she said, you like Star Trek? I said, I love it. She goes, well, okay. You think it's tough having a dialect coach in Mandarin telling you that your intonation needs to change here. Imagine a dialect coach in Klingon. She goes, It that's really difficult. She says, because there is so much because there is so much grammar and there's such a huge culture around Klingon, she goes, you really got to get it correct.
check this out. Nutashok puchpa'e.
Garb.
Do you know where the toilet is?
Oh, I just respond with lonely.
That one phrase is stuck in my head since I was about 14. I don't know why. I that one in particular. Everybody out there right now is going, what is this guy on about? Yeah, I know Klingon too. Well, I know how to ask where the toilet is.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love
it. Dude, so, you're all right. Technology.
Oh gosh, where did I go? I'm like,
you're still there with me. You're still there.
Great.
Cool. So following on from, obviously, we've just been chatting about the transition into acting. Is that, do you think that's something that you're going to want to stay in now more exclusively, or are you open to sort of mixing and matching, and sort of if a good stunt opportunity comes up, you'll look at that, or do you want to stay more in? Because I suppose it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you've got a love for both sides.
I think the middle ground is being an action actor.
Okay.
So I would still, I think the acting is where I would like to be, but I would certainly still love to do my own fight sequences. Whereas if my character is going to be set on fire or something, I would gladly defer to someone else, pass that job to someone else. So that's something that I'm certainly open to. Especially for the brother son, I didn't have a stunt double. I had one fight sequence, but I didn't have a double. I think if the character fell off a horse, for instance,
yeah,
I'd be glad for someone else to do that.
yeah, sure, because you know, as a lead in a series, like as a main character, you can't afford to get injured that one time falling off, can you? Whereas, you know, if you're the double or the stunt guy, you know, they're kind of like with the greatest respect, are kind of interchangeable. You know, we can go get somebody else. You know, you kind of need the cast fit and healthy, and which is why I think they must cringe so much. You know, when the likes of Tom Cruise, etc., they just must be every day. They must be like, please.
Absolutely, and Tom Cruise. When you see, I love seeing him run because nobody puts as much effort into running as him. You know,
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, he does have a very distinct run, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And everything else as well. I mean, guy, I mean, I've just read as well that they're making another Top Gun, which I'm both surprised and not surprised at, given how successful that film was. And I must say, it's a guilty pleasure. I love that, the second film. I'm not so much of a fan of the first one, but the second one, I just think there's just something about it. It just harks back to that sort of 90s, 80s, 90s. Sort of cool film.
You know, I wonder if when they were shooting the first one, did they ever envision a sequel so many years later? You know, it's I love that. I love that. I like when you have Unbreakable with Bruce Willis, and so many years later they do a sequel where you see the same actors but they're older. I love that. I love that.
Or like Star Wars, let's shoot it out of sequence because we know that in decades to come we're going to go and, you know, it's like crazy, absolutely crazy. So I know you probably can't say much about what you've got coming up, but you're keeping busy.
Yes.
I'm setting up a third interview here, by the way.
Anytime, absolutely. I think I'll need a few things under my belt before my next interview, though for sure. I've got a few things lined up. Nothing confirmed yet, though. I signed with an agent before I flew back to the UK because I spent all of January in LA promoting the show. And yeah, so that was one of the two goals I had in mind flying out to LA back in January, was to promote the show and also to get an agent. And I think, you know, it's crazy when you go from an audition, the audition process, to booking the job, to actually doing the job. And then we had the strike, so the show got delayed. Mm. And then finally, they said, we're going to release the show on the 4th of January. So, okay, I'll be in LA for that. I think everything changed overnight for me when the show got released, because in LA it was midnight, whereas in the UK it was 8 a.m. And I think I stayed up for the first hour, and I think I got 20 new followers in the first hour. I thought, oh, I made it, you know, I fantastic. And what that was I thought, you know, I'm just going to go to bed. And I woke up maybe 6 hours later and I had hundreds of messages, hundreds and hundreds. And
guilty. You know,
I try to reply to everyone. The only messages I didn't respond to were the thirsty ones, and there were a fair few. But you know, then we did the red carpet, which was I've done one red carpet prior to that. It was an indie film, but this was my first big red carpet. And, it was quite daunting, I must say, because you've got photographers, so many photographers, and then you see all these splashes, and you have a lot of people who are telling you to look here, look here. And then you're having to do the interviews as well. And, you know, and then once you've done that interview, you've got to do the next one and the next one. And I remember I had this girl called Sophia, who was my handler. So she would drag me here, take me here, then there. And I said to her, as this was all new to me, so I said, sorry, are you going to be with me for the whole evening? And she was like, do you not want me to be? I said, no, God, never leave me. I said, I'd be lost without you. Wow. But, so, yeah, it was, no, that was certainly an experience. And I think we had another event where we had 40,000 people sign up. It was a night market. And that was phenomenal. I worked in security, it was odd having security for me. It was odd being on the other side. And I must have featured in about 1,000 selfies. I thought,
wow.
I will take photos with anyone who wants one, you know. That was, you know, really heartwarming. And I think everything for me changed overnight when the show got released. Unfortunately, we're not getting a season 2.
Yet. I'm going to stand by that because I'm holding out for another network to take this up, because the outpouring on social media, as I'm sure you've seen as well, is, you know, thousands of disappointments. I've seen loads of people commenting, it's Netflix for you though, isn't it? They're not known for making the best decisions really in terms of supporting the popular shows. So, you know, there's others out there, and we've seen it with other shows as well. So who knows?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I do hope that in some form we get something down the line. But, you know, at the moment when the news came out, I thought, right, I'm not going to hold out. I will mourn the process. And but then we have to move. We have to move on. But I certainly feel for the everyone else who was going to be in season 2, and everyone's going to be working on it, especially Sam and Justin, who are the leads. They're two of the most wonderful people that I know. Like Justin, the lead, nobody worked as hard as Justin, because he worked almost every day. And when he was at the end of a long filming day, he would be in the gym training. And I know that because I was there every day. I didn't work as much as he did, but every time I was there, he was there. And, you know, it's like we'd work out together and he'd be practicing fight sequences and we do stuff together. And that was amazing. And he wouldn't leave until he nailed those techniques, that sequence, you know. So that was so inspirational for me. And even though he's younger than I am, I always regarded him to be an older brother, just out of seniority. So for me, it's never been about how old someone is to determine their scene. No, it was his experience, his output, his work ethic. So that was inspirational for me as well.
So I know another love of yours is music, a big part of your life. And I just wondered, with all of this chaos of everything going on, have you been able to keep up with your journey in music and progression? And
yeah, so I still play. I play as often as I can, as it's a bit of an escape for me. However, I get people asking me if I'm going to release another album. The answer to that is probably not yet, because the first one took me 11 years.
A little bit more time to cook yet, then, I suppose.
Absolutely. And the first album, it had 26 tunes, of which, well, 26 of the ones that I could remember. So it was like, it was like a diary without words. So every tune, every time I hear it, I know exactly what I went through when I hear it, when I play it. I never tell people what they mean, just because I want people to go on their own journey. As for whether or not I release another one, we'll see down the line. But
well, you've had a fair bit of experience to draw upon, haven't you? And the emotions and excitement and personal journeys that.
Absolutely. I mean,
I'll be listening to them going, That's the Marvel shoot. That's the Netflix shoot. Fingers flying up and down the keyboard.
I tell you now, it's I'm not a good enough pianist to express in recent years.
For those falls you were talking about, a good old dunk. Mind you, not too hard. You'd have to have a reinforced keyboard for you to do that, mate.
Gosh, it's crazy. It's when I like not so long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was at Tesco and someone saw me and recognized me and said, "Hey, you're that guy off Take Me Out." I thought, "Gosh, you know, I've done other things, but you don't care about that." I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah. Oh wow,
that's amazing. That's going back a few years now, isn't it? I remember that.
8 years." Yeah.
Eight years.
8 years. Yeah. Would you believe it? Yeah.
Crikey. Almost to the edge. Do you keep in touch with the young lady that was on? I can't remember her name. What's her name?
Yeah.
Yes. That's the name.
I saw her maybe 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. We're still very close. And we're still really good friends. So yeah, you know, she's engaged, she's got a kid and everything. And I'm so happy for her, but when her and I went on our date, I think we knew very early on that we would be friends. And we've been friends ever since. So, you know, when people say, "Well, you know, are you sad that you never found love?" I'm like, of course I did. I mean, not romantic love, but I still found love nonetheless.
Absolutely. So still being in touch with somebody 8 years later and, you know, still be part of their life and everything, that's a very positive experience, I think. That's a good thing to take from. We've been, as though, coming back a little bit to him talking about your agent, when you flew out to LA, we've been exchanging this little joke occasionally, saying whoever gets on a Star Trek series first has to help get the other person in somehow. So how's that going?
Well, I know they were casting for Section 31 late last year. I think I may have missed the boat on that one, but that's fine. They're always making new things anyway. New Star Trek. I mean, I've just finished Strange New Worlds, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Not jealous at all.
Yeah.
But no, have you seen it? I've everything and anything that I can take in at the moment. I mean, what did you think to Picard season 3 then? You must have been hitting the ceiling at the same time as me on episode 9.
Oh God, yes. So, my feelings with Picard was season 1. I thought was an excellent sci-fi, but it didn't have the same vibe as we were used to. It was a different Picard because this is so many years into the future. Season 2, I felt was less of a sci-fi. I think season 3 was that Rose Aaron episode. They wrapped that up so delicately, so sensitively, so appropriately. I love that they had such an exchange where there was trust at the end of that. I thought, beautiful, beautiful. And I think Picard season 3, that's my favorite.
Stratospheric. No, Andy Robinson, though, very disappointed. I was holding out for some Garrick.
Though, you know, I think when I watched the Deep Space Nine documentary, I love that he featured so much in that. And it's a shame that Rene and is not with us, and Aaron, who plays Nog, as well. But
yeah, there's so many people right now listening going, what are they talking about? Well, it's my podcast, folks, and we get to talk about what we want to talk about, so there we go. That's the rule.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was I think we all kind of knew that the Enterprise D was going to feature. We all kind of knew it, but even when it happened, we were still like, oh my god, it's happening. And when the turbo lift doors open and they walk out and the lights come on, it's like, oh,
beautiful. And you know, it's just seeing them on the bridge, just it blew my mind. And I think because I watched it with my brother, we paused it, and I'm not afraid to admit I wiped away a tear you know.
No, because it was essentially the Enterprise, in this case, the bridge, I would say, was a missing cast member. It was a member of the cast, you know, the ship, the setting. It was the sort of the glue, I suppose, that brought them all together, and to see them all there again on the bridge.
Phenomenal.
And I don't know about you, but did you think, I don't know whether this was potentially by design or whether it's just a byproduct of them all being there again, but Patrick Stewart's voice, to me anyway, the second that he was on the bridge of the Enterprise, it changed. It sounded stronger again. It sounded fuller again. It was like, oh, hang on. He doesn't sound like an old guy. Not him. More of the character of Picard. He doesn't feel like the frail old guy anymore. He sounds like the, you know, if you think back to season one, where he's in command of the ship and he doesn't really know what he's doing and he's a bit sort of, ooh. And now this is, hang on, this is Captain Picard again now. This is
home.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it was so empowering to see that. You know, like, they've all changed, but they're still the same. You know, it's just incredible. And I tell you what, Geordi has aged so
well. Yeah, LeVar Burton, wow. Yeah.
And I think Worf's makeup, I love it.
That that makes him the sort of comic relief as well. He was always the straight character in everything. And they sort of made him the comic relief of the series. Like, he had all the cool jokes, you know, swords of fun. And then snoring at the end as well.
Gosh, I love that. I love that he is more peaceful these days, you know. And, you know, I think bringing Seven of Nine in as well, for all three seasons, she's great. She always has been. Seven of Nine has always been wonderful. I think, you know, some of the criticisms about, oh, you know, it's fan service and nostalgia, I'm fine with that. That is what I live for. I'm happy with that. You know, you've got my favorite guys on screen. Great. You know, they're all back again.
The cherry on top for me is if they would have been able to have coaxed Avery Brooks out of retirement.
Yes.
Even just for a tiny, tiny scene.
So they made reference to Sisko in season two, where they say, well, General Sisko has just done this. It's like, oh, but show us. I want to see General Sisko. I'm not afraid to say this now, but one of the reasons why I have a shaved head and a goatee is because of Sisko.
Wow, there we go. I can't say my reason's the same. Mine was a hairdressing disaster. We were talking about this before we started recording. I went in just to have a trim, and the lady misheard me, and she just buzzed my hair off completely.
It looks good on you.
It's a new look. Yeah. I came into work, and I spent the first hour having young children pointing out the fact that I was bald.
Lovely. And kids will tell you how it is.
Oh, yeah. You've had your hair cut off. Yes, I know. I know. All too well. I can feel the temperature change.
Absolutely.
That was something I wasn't prepared for, is how cold your head feels when you've got no hair. Yeah. I'm wearing hats all the time now. Did you not say, today's a special day, am I allowed to say as well?
Yes, I am 36 today.
Happy birthday. I would have a happy birthday button pressed if I was organized enough to have realized. Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you so much. And you know what? When I said to you over the, I think last week and the weekend, look, I think I can do Monday right about this time. That was very intentional on my part because, who would I want to speak to on my birthday?
Oh, that's so kind. You're too kind giving up your special day.
Cool.
Have you got anything planned, anything exciting, anything going on? Just another adult day.
Absolutely. I'll clean the house a little. We'll see. I've got a few more calls later on this evening, but for the most part, it's just another day for me. I think as I grow, as I get a little bit older, it's like I would prefer to be not so reminded of the past. I mean,
tell
I think
me about it.
Mentally, I feel maybe about 24, 25. Yeah. But physically, I think my joints might feel a little older than, you know.
I can empathize with you on that one. My body is 44, but my mind is still 24, which is fine. And I'm fighting that. As I said earlier, I'm fighting nature. I'm fighting that, you know. I'm going with it a little bit now these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got to keep pushing yourself, haven't you? And
absolutely.
Keeping on top of training. Cool. Well, I won't keep you any longer. Now that we've managed to have a geek out about Star Trek, talk about martial arts and have all that good conversational stuff, have a great birthday, great rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to catching up with you in another 4 years' time for the podcast. But let's try, if we're working on the same production, let's try and synchronize days, because we keep doing that.
Gosh.
Are you working on this? Yeah, I am too. Yes, I am. Cool. What day are you on? I'm Thursday. Oh, I'm Friday.
That happened on Culprits, on Rupture. That's happened on a bunch of things. It was crazy. I think as I was just leaving London, you were coming in.
It's the universe is playing with us.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
definitely love to catch up with you again soon. But thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you. Appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your day. Have a good birthday, and we'll speak soon.
You too.
Brought to you by Martialytics. Easy to use, super powerful management software for your martial arts school.